everybody, and welcome for the first time ever to the Animation Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things animation brought to you by Filmbook. My name is Matt Brunet, but some of you may know me more as Animat from my YouTube channel, Electric Dragon 505, home of web series that are all about animation, including Animation Lookback and Animat's Reviews. If this is your first time here in the Animation Podcast, which, well, it is the first episode, so it definitely is, well, the only thing I'll say to you is that the title says it all. It's a podcast, and I talk about animation. Specifically, the latest news that happened this week. So, in today's episode, I'm going to be looking into Dora the Explorer, which for some reason she's going to get her own live-action movie. And if you don't think that's actually pretty crazy, then wait till you hear about the Playmobil movie. Then afterwards, I'm going to go into The Little Prince, which actually opened decently well in China. And then we're going to look into Ghost in the Shell, the new movie, which just released its English trailer, and it also released the North American release dates. And then finally, we will end it off with Matt's Pick of the Week, which I will explain what it is later. So to start things off, I'm going to be looking into Dora the Explorer. And we all know by now who Dora is and what her show is about. At this point, she's pretty much one of the more popular children's programming where kids are learning Spanish from her and she goes on these little adventures and stuff like that. And I'm sure everybody has seen at least one or two parodies about her. But it seems that Paramount wants to take her a little bit more seriously. So what they did is that they hired Tom Wheeler, who was previously the writer of DreamWorks' Puss in Boots, which was the spinoff from Shrek, and they hired him so that he can be the writer of a live-action Dora the Explorer movie. How that is going to be, well, let me discuss that later, but also, on the side, I just would like to add that not only Paramount hired him for that, but they also hired him to do the script for a movie based on Micronauts, which it says here, he's also been set to write the next draft of Micronauts, a live-action version of the Hasbro science fiction toy line that Paramount and Bad Robot have been working on for some years. Now, apparently, it says here that it could be possible it could be an animated feature since Paramount Animation has been associated with it, but that's only about the Micronauts. The real headline is mostly how that they brought in Tom Wheeler to bring in a live-action Dora the Explorer movie. And I find it pretty ironic that Paramount wants to do that, considering I remember like a couple of years ago or something like that, I think it was either College Humor or Funny or Die. They did a parody of this where they did this live-action, action-packed Dora the Explorer movie that's rated R and stuff like that. But I wondered how the heck are you going to bring this children's cartoon, or like just a children's animated series, I apologize for using the term cartoon, and basically turning that into a live-action feature, into something that people would take a little bit more seriously, because, let's be honest here, nobody can take Dora seriously, especially with the way that she runs the show and how, pretty much throughout the series, she really wants the audience to interact, so I'm sure people are expecting that, like, for maybe a third of the movie is just gonna be nothing but silence because Dora is waiting for you to answer, like, you'll see the little evil weasel, what is this, Snipey, Swipey, or something like that. It's like, which way did he go? Okay, let's go right. It's gonna be, I don't know what the heck is Paramount gonna do with this. I understand that, like, Dora is a pretty it is one of the most popular Nicktoon shows, and, like, they want to try to capitalize a little bit more on it, but even at that, like, the last times that they would do it, at least it would make a little bit of sense. Like, the SpongeBob movies, both the first one and Sponge Out of Water, like, there is a bit of logic why they could do that. There is a bit of a sense to how they can adapt that. But Dora the Explorer, I don't know. It's just trying to adapt, a children's programming into a movie. it just doesn't seem that ideal, especially when other failures like Thomas and the Magic Railroad, or I think Barney had a movie at one point. It just doesn't work, but I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see what Tom Wheeler is going to do with Dora, but honestly, I don't know. Now for our next story, I'm sure a lot of you would just disregard this news or anything like that and think that this is just something to capitalize on the Lego movie, but it is a little bit interesting once you get down to it, so I just want to get into a little bit more detail about it. So apparently, On Animation Studios, which is a division of On Entertainment, they want to go and make a movie franchise based on the Playmobil toys. Now, for those of you who might not know what Playmobil is, they're like... It's hard to describe about Playmobil, but a lot of people buy it because the sets and the houses and stuff like that, they have a bit more of an elegance than Lego. The little toys themselves, like the little characters that they have, they seem more like a grown-up, a bit more of an advanced version of the Lego characters. But anyways, so what's apparently going on is that On Animation Studios, they are turning Playmobil into a movie, and the first one, I think the whole franchise would be called Playmobil Robbers, Thieves, and Rebels. And already, like, there are some people who are giving money to it, and they've already got a production cost, which will be $75 million. And they even got a distributor, which is Cross Creek, the same people that brought us Everest and Black Mass. They've already got the rights to distribute the movie as a wide release into the U.S. Now, here's the thing, and this is where I want to bring in the Lego movie, because a lot of people would believe that this is just to capitalize on the Lego movie. They just really want to cash in on it. And that's not the entire purpose at all. Because here's the thing. The idea of trying to make a Playmobil movie has been in existence for about 3 years now. So technically, it's not because of the Lego movie. Like, the idea is already there. But it's thanks to the Lego movie's success that people really want to get into it. And I just want to add already that there are some people attached to the project. It even says here, it's a director and a writer as well. It is Bob Persichetti. Bob Persichetti, excuse me. He was the head of the story of, funny enough, Puss in Boots and Shrek 2. And this, he will be making his directorial debut, and he's also going to be the writer of the film. I just want to add as well that for those of you who do not know what On Animation Studios is, they are a Paris-based animation studio, and recently they have brought out their film, which is The Little Prince. Right now, it's being distributed all around in theaters, which, funny enough, is our next story. But now they're already set to go and make their next movie, which seems to be Playmobil. And so far, in terms of a release date, it seems that they're going to try to complete it by mid-2018. And by the end of that year, that's when they're going to go and distribute it worldwide. And speaking of The Little Prince, that's actually the subject of our next story. Now, the thing with The Little Prince is that not too long ago, it opened in China. And despite being against major, major competition, it seems to be going well for itself. It actually opened in third place with a total of $10.9 million in terms of ticket sales. Now, the reason why I say it's decently well for its position is because the crazy amount of competition that it had, and that is because it was already up against the Chinese comedy Goodbye, Mr. Loser, but the big one in there, and it already made crazy headline news, was Marvel Studios' Ant-Man. It was released at the same time, and it already made major bucks in China. Now, if you guys don't really know about The Little Prince, it's such a classic story, especially in the French regions. Since I'm in Montreal and like a lot of people speak French, like basically everybody knew what The Little Prince or who The Little Prince is. And the movie is actually directed by someone that you might know is Mark Osborne, whom previously was the director of DreamWorks' Kung Fu Panda. And honestly, even for me, I'm always interested to see this movie. It seems very unique because there are actually two parts in the story. You got one part, which is a little girl and she hangs out with this old man, which is computer animated. And then when the old man tells the story about the little prince, that's when the movie suddenly becomes stop motion. So it's very intriguing to see that a movie would actually combine these two elements, not simultaneously, not like using computer animation as special effects or stuff like that, but actually legit using these two mediums prominently to tell this one story. So it's actually going to be very interesting. One note that I would like to add is that The Little Prince has already grossed $38 million worldwide, and it already performed in 10 different places around the world, and that doesn't even count all the festivals and stuff like that. And for any North Americans who are very interested to see it, just like me, well, you might have to wait a little bit because Paramount is planning on distributing the film and is expecting a 2016 release date for it. When specifically, I don't know, but I'm pretty excited to know when it's actually coming. Now, our next story is actually something that I personally really did adore. I remember seeing it for the first time, and this really blew me away. So it's going to be very intriguing to see its comeback. And I am talking, of course, about Ghost in the Shell, the new movie. So I'm not really into like all the different anime news, so I didn't really hear much about this, but apparently, like, this is happening, and, like, this really caught my attention. So, basically, what is Ghost in the Shell? I'm not 100% sure. I don't know if it's, like, a reboot to the franchise, or maybe this is a prequel. But anyways, before I really get into that, the news about it is that the English dub provided by Funimation Entertainment has been released, and they also announced the North American release dates. It's going to be very limited. They only have three days for it to be in theaters. But anyways, going back into Ghost in the Shell, I would just like to add that I love the Ghost in the Shell movies. They're just phenomenal. I haven't got into some of the more later works like Ghost in the Shell Arise, but I will say I truly adore the first movie. That is an absolute masterpiece, and I really have an appreciation for the sequel as well, Ghost in the Shell Innocence. But I will admit that it was really hard to follow for the sequel, because I think this is the only movie that I have ever seen that is literally too smart for me, because everybody speaks in philosophical thoughts and stuff like that. Like, they would always quote people like Confucius and Karl Marx and stuff like that. It's just, you know, it's just hard to comprehend. And I remember being so confused when they talked about, I think there was this one line, like, they always say, like an elephant in the forest. It's like, what the fridge are you talking about, dude? But okay, but anyways, alright, let's go back into Ghost in the Shell, the new movie. About this is that I'm not 100%, like I said, I'm not 100% sure about what this is. From the looks of the trailer, it seems that it's going to be, I don't know if it's a prequel or a reboot. I didn't fully check into what they're trying to do with it, but it seems very intriguing how everything just got together, because for me, for someone who has seen the movies, this seems a lot like a prequel, like how the main character got into it and stuff like that. Fudge nabbit, I even forgot. It's been a while since I've seen it. I completely forgot about the main character's names, and I do apologize. But to give you guys a little bit of an idea of what this movie is about, there is a bit of a description of what the story is. And Funimation describes the story set in a futuristic Japan after the end of a brutal world war. Science has advanced by leaps and bounds, giving humanity the choice of prolonging life and reduce suffering with the use of sophisticated cybernetics, with all of humanity linked into one system of minds and personality known as ghosts. The biggest threat of civilization is the cyber terrorists capable of hijacking people's bodies and memories. Okay, so far, that's pretty much the setup of Ghost in the Shell in general. When a ghost-infecting virus known as Firestarter began spreading through the system, resulting in assassination of the Japanese Prime Minister, and her elite team of special operatives are called to track down its source. And they delve deeper and deeper into their investigation, and they uncover traces of government corruption and a shadowy broker that bears an all-too-familiar face. When your target can be anywhere and look like anyone, the only choice you have is to trust your ghost and hope you aren't infected too. So like I said, I'm not 100% sure if this is either a complete reboot to the franchise or if this is a prequel, like how everything got together, like how the main character ended up becoming a cybernetic herself and has a ghost and stuff like that. But it's gonna be very intriguing. But I will say, in the trailer, it's absolutely brilliant, and even the English dub is actually very, very well done, may I add. Now, one thing to note about this is that the movie has already premiered in Japan on June 20th, and some of the people that are attached to it, they are already connected. Like, they have some connections to Ghost in the Shell in either form, whether it be the original movies or in Arise, including Kazuchika Kise, who was the chief director of Ghost in the Shell Arise. He was the chief director at Production IG, or maybe is, and he designed the characters for the movie. And then you got Tao Ubukata, who wrote Ghost in the Shell Arise. He's also writing the screenplay in this movie. And Kazuyama Noruma, he's going to be the director of the film. And, well, he didn't really do anything from Ghost in the Shell. He did Robotics, Notes, Sengoku Basara, Samurai Kings, the movie. So, basically, he's the director. And Toru Ukubo, who previously was the key animator for Ghost in the Shell 2 Innocence and Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex, he's pretty much the chief animation director. Now, if you guys are eager to go see Ghost in the Shell, the new movie in North America, well, so far there are 3 release dates that you can go, so mark down your calendars in either November 10th, November 11th, or November 16th. Now, to top things off, I'm going to talk about Matt's Pick of the Week. Now, I'm sure you guys don't know what is Matt's Pick of the Week, so what is that? Basically, this is the segment of the show where I'm going to end this off with a new story that has completely grabbed my interest the most, keeping the theme of animation, so it can vary into different things, but this is the one that really caught my eye, and I really want to discuss it with you guys. So for this one, it's more about the business side in animation, but there's a little bit of trouble brewing, and that really caught my interest, especially with a brand new animation studio like this, and it's about Real Effects going out to sue one of the co-founders, Dale Carmen. So, you guys might be wondering, what's this all about? So, basically, it's not really much about animation, but it's actually more about virtual reality. At least that's the subject of what's going of like this whole lawsuit. So basically, what's going on is that the co-founder, Dale Carmen, and 3 additional employees, including executive producer Gary Banks, commercial division general manager Keith McCabe, and director of Digital Interactives Dave Ferguson, they have pretty much been screwing Real Effects for their own agenda. Because what's apparently been going on is that Dale Carmen, he went on to pursue his own things. Like, he didn't just stay at Real Effects to work and make the company grow and stuff like that. He went off to also open his new company, which is Carmen Industries. Now, what this mostly is, like I said, is about virtual reality. And the biggest issue about it is that Real Effects are accusing Carmen Industries for pretty much using them, using their resources, using all their statistics, their numbers, and all that kind of stuff in order to take advantage and to grow their company while screwing Real Effects over into millions of dollars in terms of profits. It even said that they lost opportunities to have virtual reality sponsors, including Frito-Lay and PepsiCo. So that's a pretty major thing. Anyways, that's pretty much what is happening, is that one of the co-founders is basically screwing the other company over. But there is a very ironic twist to it. Apparently, it says on September 7th, Carmen Industries filed for bankruptcy. On September 28th, the Dallas court also granted a temporary injunction in favor of Real Effects, an indication that the judge believes the plaintiffs have the stronger argument in this case. Because bankruptcy is a federal matter, it allows the defendants to remove their case from local Dallas County Courthouse to federal court, where the case will now continue. So this is going to be a real serious thing. And the plaintiffs in this case is actually one of the CEOs is Stephen O'Brien. So he was basically hired back in 2004 to really help grow Real Effects. And then suddenly this happens. And he noticed that one of the co-founders is screwing them over. So he had to take action. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up, and I know it seems a little bit unrelated, but Real Effects nowadays, they are pretty much the new animation studio. They have just entered in the realm of animation. Not too long ago, they have released movies, including Free Birds, which nobody seemed to care about, and now it's passed off as a stupid kids flick about Thanksgiving. But they suddenly grabbed everyone's attention when they made The Book of Life. And then suddenly people are starting to take them more seriously. And they realize that the director of the film, Jorge Guillermes, is definitely a major player both at Real Effects and now in the animation industry. So now they can make more movies and he can get out there, set his imagination free. And I really got to give credit. The Book of Life was really a fascinating movie, especially with the fine detail that they go to get that authenticity of the Mexican culture and stuff like that. And I believe that if Jorge Guillermes keeps on going with this, then I know for sure that he will be a great, fantastic auteur in the field of animation. Like, just you wait. Like, he'll be a pretty big name if he keeps going, making more animated features like The Book of Life. And with that said, so now that they got this major attention to Real Effects, it's pretty shocking to find that there is something that's hindering them and that could probably really screw them over. So they really got them at a good time, especially when Carmen Industries is now down and out. So might as well, they can go help save the they can help save the studio and make it grow into something a little bit more bigger. And even with their virtual reality stuff, since this is not a company that just makes animated films, but plenty of other things, including virtual reality. So it's going to be interesting to see where the court case is going to go. And it seems very likely that Real Effects is going to be the major winner in this case. And Dale Carmen has a lot of explaining to do. And that's all I've got for this week, so thank you for listening to this episode of the Animation Podcast. You can find more of my work at film-book.com. Don't forget the dash, that's actually very important. Just search for Mathieu Brunet or the Animation Podcast. Yes, by the way, Mathieu Brunet is actually my real name. You can understand why I go with Matt Brunet, so... But anyways, as for me, well, you can find me on my Twitter page at AnimeMatt505, or you can like my Facebook page at AnimationLookback, or you can even come and subscribe to my channel on YouTube at ElectricDragon505. But for this podcast, if you listen to this on iTunes or any other podcast service, do you mind doing us a favor and please rate and review this episode? That would be great. And if you are listening to this podcast on YouTube, then hit that like button on our video and leave us a comment on what you think about the news this week. Tune in next week for the latest episode of the Animation Podcast and all the news that gets into animation. Okay, maybe not all, but some. You know what I mean. Hey, if you enjoy this, then come back, you know? Thank you for listening, and until next week, see you later, dudes!